Amen. Thank you for that father-son duet there. That's great. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. We are studying in Sunday morning, the heroes of the faith. And today, this morning, we're going to look at a man named Joshua. We're actually going to look at several passages of Scripture, but we're going to start with Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So stand as we read God's Word. Joshua 1, 1 through 9 is where we're going to begin. And then we'll refer back several times to other scriptures. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua was a great man of faith. He trusted God, and because of that, God did amazing things in and through this man's life. And the first one that we just read was the faith to believe God's promises. Now, Moses is dead, that great leader, and God has called Joshua to go and lead the people into the promised land. Joshua was called to believe that God would give them the land. He had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and now we promised Joshua two times in this scripture I just read to you. He says, I'm going to give you the land. Joshua is called to believe it, to believe that it's really going to happen. And I don't think Joshua struggles with this. Joshua has already shown himself to be a person of faith. I think he's like Abraham, who it says in the scripture, was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Joshua was called to believe that God would give him the land. He was also called to believe that God would be with him. Now, Joshua knew that if God is with you, you're in good shape. Several times in this passage, God says, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. You're not on your own. Be strong and courageous. I will be with you. Joshua has seen what God can do through people that he is with. He'd seen in the life of Moses. God had told Moses earlier this promise. When you go to war against your enemies and see the horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt will be with you. That's the whole key. God will be with you. To understanding what's going to happen. And Joshua believed this, that God was going to be with him. Joshua was also called to believe that God would work through him. And I don't know, I think this might be the hardest area for Joshua to believe. The fact that God could actually work through him. How would you like to follow someone like Moses? Moses, that great leader of the people of Israel. And yet, Joshua was called to follow Moses. I don't know this for sure, but I have a hunch that Joshua thought, well, who am I that God could use me to lead these people? But Joshua was called to believe that God could work through him. We do that often, I think. When God calls us to do something, we tend to think, oh, who am I that I can do that? And when we do that, we've made it about us, and it's never about us. It's always about God. God will be with us. If God calls us to do something, he'll be with us, and it can happen. So Joshua was called to believe that God would work through him. The second story comes in a little later in chapter 3 of Joshua. They are right by the Jordan River. ready, and they want to go across this Jordan River. And here we see a picture of the faith to obey God. And I'm going to read from chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you all the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgazites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. The faith to obey God. Now, many of you have been to Israel, and we've seen the Jordan River. It's really hardly a river compared to Idaho rivers. But they were asked to cross during when it was flooding, the flooding river. Now, that little tiny river can be changed. This picture was taken just a few years ago in Israel. Look at this flood. This is the Jordan River. That was taken, I believe, in the year 2015. When it rains heavy and the waters come down, that little calm Jordan River turns into a mess. So the people are called across when it's doing this, okay? I imagine the people were tempted to think, has Joshua been down to the river? Has he seen that it's flooding? Maybe we should wait a while. But God says, no, you're going to cross this flooding river. The Lord told them to take the first step of faith. The first step of faith. Do you notice that the priest had to step in the water before the water stopped? It didn't stop when they showed up at the river. Didn't stop on their way. They had to get in the water. And then the river stopped. The water stopped. And the miracle happened. That first step of faith. God requires for us to take that first step of faith. Everything else is not going to happen unless you take that first step of faith. Got to step in the water. God will act. He'll honor what he said. And they did it. And God miraculously provided a way. The water stopped way upstream, and they were provided a way to go across that river. Just as God had provided for a way for them to cross the Red Sea, he provided a way for them to cross that Jordan River in a miraculous way. You see, the people obeyed God. They obeyed God. The priest stood in the middle of that river, holding the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, and all the people crossed over. I wonder what they were thinking when they crossed over. Will the water stay back? Or what about these guys that don't like us on the other side of the Jordan River? They'll want to kill us. I mean, there's a lot to be worried about if they obey God, but they obeyed God, had faith, and they obeyed God. You see, faith has to show itself in obedience. Faith has to show itself in obedience. Once they cross the other side of the river, they're faced with the next challenge. Right before them is this fortified city of Jericho. In order to take the promised land, they have to take Jericho. It stands right in the way. The way up through the mountains, from the river up into the mountains into the higher area, they have to take Jericho. They have to take it if they're going to take anything else. So here we see in chapter 5 an encounter that Joshua had that's so pivotal to this whole story. Joshua 5 says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Amazing encounter. Joshua's out checking out the town, the city. How are we going to take this place? It's impossible. It's fortified. It's huge. It's armed. And the Lord appeared to Joshua. The Lord appeared. We know this isn't an angel. This is the Lord, because the angels don't allow people to worship them. This is an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament at this critical point in the history of Israel. And in appearing to him, the Lord declared that he was in charge. Joshua says, when he sees this arm, this soldier warrior with a sword, "Are you for us or them?" And he says, "Neither." It's an interesting answer. "But as commander of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, I have come." He's asserting that he is in charge. Joshua's not in charge. The Lord's in charge. You see, Joshua was wondering, "Lord, are you on our side?" And the real question is, the Lord asking Joshua, "Joshua, are you going to be on my side?" That's the question. And we do that often in our own lives, don't we? We have plans and dreams, and we ask, "Lord, will you be on our side? Will you help us?" And God is saying, "Hey, you need to be on my side. I'm in charge here. Be on my side. Don't make things up and ask me to join you. We need to do what the Lord wants us to do." In this setting, Joshua surrendered to the Lord's leadership. He bowed down in reverence before the Lord. He was surrendering himself to the Lord and humbling himself before the Lord, realizing it was the Lord. The scripture says, "Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." It is my belief that Jericho would never have been taken if Joshua hadn't surrendered to the Lord right here. The whole promised land wouldn't have been taken, at least by Joshua, if he hadn't surrendered, because Joshua isn't going to conquer anything. The Lord is going to do it. So he needs to surrender and let the Lord be in charge. Whatever's going on in our lives, we need to surrender and let the Lord be in charge. Let him do it. Follow him, his leadership. Joshua worshiped the Lord. He asked the Lord, "Do you have a message?" And the Lord said, "Take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground." Same message he told Moses at the burning bush. Worship. This is pivotal, because all the way through the battles and taking the land, they got to keep God first. Worship God first. Do you notice when they cross the Jordan, the ark went ahead of them? When they take Jericho, the ark goes ahead of them. The presence of God. They need to keep God first. Well, the next faith lesson from Joshua is the familiar story that happened to Jericho. And here we see the faith to accept God's plan. Chapter 6. It says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" Now remember, Joshua has already surrendered and let the Lord be in charge. So now it's just details. Fill in the details, Lord. He already surrendered. "I'll do what you tell me to do, Lord. What do you want me to do?" And the first thing he told Joshua to do was to see the battle won. Now what Joshua sees is a fortified city. God says, "I want you to look and see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands." You see what he's doing? He's asking him to see it ahead of time. That's faith. See it ahead of time. You see, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Joshua, look. See that city? Can you see it taken? I'm giving it to you. See it by faith taken. Joshua was told the unusual battle plan. This battle plan has never been used again. I wouldn't suggest you try it. March around the city 6 days in a row with a priest in front carrying the ark, the visible reminder of the presence of God. On the seventh day, march around seven times, blow your trumpets, shout, and the walls will fall down. I mean, what an unusual, unorthodox battle plan, right? But Joshua had already surrendered to the leadership of the Lord, and he said, okay, if that's the plan. He carried out the plan. They did it just like God said. They marched around. I wonder what the people of Jericho said when they saw the crazy Israelites going around every day in circles. I imagine there had to have been some banter going on there. The seventh day, they marched around seven times. They blew those trumpets. They shouted, and the walls came down. And the warriors went straight in. If you go to Jericho today, that's all you can see of the ruins of the ancient city. It's just a pile of dirt. They've done a little digging, but there's really nothing there. It's destroyed. The walls fell down. The people marched right in and took that city. The people enjoyed a great victory. It says in Hebrews, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. After the people marched around them for 7 days, by faith. Now God did it, but the people got to be a part of it by faith, trusting in God. The last lesson from Joshua this morning is from the end of his life. Here we see the faith to influence others. Joshua has lived his life. He has led the people to take the promised land. They had some glitches along the way, but they did it, conquered 31 kings. They took the land. They're at peace, and he pulls all the people together and gives them a farewell speech, and he tells them several things there in this farewell speech. He told them they need to fear God. Fear God. Have a reverent, awesome fear for God. Not like I'm afraid God's going to get me, but we need to remember that God is a holy, majestic, almighty God of all creation. We need to realize who he is. God himself in Deuteronomy said, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Joshua also told them to serve the Lord only. He knew that they'd be tempted maybe to go back to the gods of Egypt or the gods of the Canaanites, which many of them did. But he said, no, serve God. You need to choose who you're going to serve. You need to serve God and serve God only. That's the word of Joshua. And Joshua was an example of one who trusted in God. He looked at the people and said, you got to choose. And then he said, you got to choose, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's an example of faith to the people of Israel. Now, in closing, real quickly, I want us to remember that Joshua is an ordinary guy. I know we tend to put him way up here on a pedestal, but these people in the Old Testament are ordinary people. They trusted an extraordinary God. You see, if we put him up on a pedestal and think, I could never be like Joshua, you're wrong. Because Joshua was a man of faith. God is the same. He's as powerful as he was back then. He can still do miracles. We need to trust him and have faith and realize that God could work in and through us for his glory and his honor. Live a life of faith. We're going to sing a song together in closing this morning. That is a song that I love. It's kind of a song of challenge. Joshua could sing this song because he did this. It says, may all who come behind us find us faithful. The people that came behind Joshua found him faithful. And we need to make that our goal so that we'll be faithful. We'll trust in God and leave a legacy behind of faithfulness, trusting in God, no matter what. If you need to pray as we sing this song, you're invited if you want to come to the altars and pray about anything that God has talked to you about or anything that you need to bring before him this morning, you're welcome to do that. Let's stand together and sing this song and gather for a closing word this morning.